gonna make him an offer he can't
refuse. I feel the need for speed.
He's watched every movie more than once. He's Stephen Fenech.
Go ahead. Make my day.
He's watched the latest Disney movies with his kids, but that's about it. He's Trevor Long.
You talking to me?
Together, they bring you the best movies you've never seen.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Rent, buy or stream the latest and greatest movies on Fetch. Watch on a big screen Hisense TV.
Say hello to my little friend!
The best movies you've never seen.
The first rule of Fight Club is... you do not talk about Fight Club.
With Stephen Fenech and Trevor Long.
This is the captain. Brace for impact.
Brace for impact, all right. This is the Best Movies You've Never Seen podcast. My name is Stephen Fenech, and I pick the movies for the podcast. I've seen them quite often. And I show them to my co-host, Trevor Long, who has we're getting close to that 150 mark. He's building up his movie library. Trev, welcome.
Great to be here. And I'm basically Richard Wilkins, Roger Ebert. I'm aficionado. Thinking,
can you believe we've got a movie podcast? Can you believe it? I can't believe it.
Rewind 5 years, let alone 3 years.
If I told you 10 years ago we're gonna co-host a movie podcast, you would have laughed at me. And here we are. Anyway, today we are talking about a great movie. It's called Phone Booth. And just a warning, explicit language in this one, quite prominent explicit language. So be careful. Released in 2002, starring Colin Farrell, directed by Joel Schumacher. Now, the idea for this movie, the screenwriter Larry Cohen, older guy, pitched this idea to Alfred Hitchcock in the 1960s.
What?
So this Larry Cohen, the writer, had this idea, pitched it to Alfred Hitchcock. Hitchcock's movies tend to be sort of this sort of real closed-in.
No, that's true,
you know,
yeah.
Really,
from the couple I know about, yeah.
Yeah, and he pitched it in the 60s. Hitchcock loved it. He said, mate, great idea, but what's the plot? It's confined to a phone booth. What the hell are they going to do for 90 minutes?
So the pitch was just pitch a movie was where a bloke's in the phone booth
phone
the whole
box,
time.
And there was no plot. So once he got the idea of the sniper... that's when he went to work,
right.
And he wrote the script in under a month.
Wow.
Bashed it out. But get this. Movie was due for release in November 2002. Around about that time, there was a little incident with the Beltway sniper
attacks. The bloke that was driving around the boot of a car.
Correct. Killed 17 people.
Oh, my Lord.
Wounded 10 others in a 10-month spree.
Yes.
Right? So they thought... Fox said, we can't release a movie about a sniper right now. So they decided to delay the release till April 2003. So what was that, 6 months they waited?
Doesn't seem like enough, but anyway, whatever.
I think it was a bit sensitive around October. That's when that was all happening.
Right.
And the guy that they arrested for it, apparently they found him and it was a 35-year-old guy and a 17-year-old.
Right.
And they both got like 30 years, whatever, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, have you any impressions of this movie whatsoever?
It's weird. It's like I have a recollection of this, but on watching it, I had no idea what happened. So it's again one of
Did
those.
You confuse it for another
things.
Phone booth movie? Or?
There's not many of them, are there?
I don't think there's any. Yeah.
So yeah, very strange. I knew that. Okay. Let's put it this way: I knew the movie existed,
right? And because you know Colin Farrell, you've heard of him.
I wouldn't have been able to name him.
Yeah,
well, but I've definitely seen him.
He was in
before.
Minority Report a few weeks ago. We did.
Yes,
him
he
a few
was.
Weeks
yes.
ago. Let's have a little talk about the buzz. James Berardinelli from Real Views, here's his reaction, his review. Farrell carries the movie, showing how fear and uncertainty can humble the slickest and most cocksure of men. Forrest Whitaker provides solid support as the policeman who refuses to allow a suicide by cop to occur on his watch, and he begins to believe that Stewart may be a hostage rather than a hostage taker.
Nice.
Obviously, with a phone booth, there is claustrophobia. In addition, for most of the film, the villain is faceless, a cold, menacing voice on the other end of a phone line playing at being God. Give Kiefer Sutherland credit for doing as much as he does with limited opportunities. Like in Steven Spielberg's Duel, we are confronted with an implacable enemy. As time wears on, Stewart finds his range of options increasingly limited. He's a pawn in a one-sided game that may only end with his death. Phone Booth makes us care whether this happens or not.
That's a really good review because it doesn't give too much away, but it makes you understand what's going on. That's
question
very cool.
for you, though. Mm. Did you realise that voice at the other end was Kiefer Sutherland?
As soon as he spoke. Okay, I've seen enough, mate. I've seen every episode of 24 three or four times and Designated Survivor.
I knew it. I knew it.
Mate, it's funny because I went, oh, my God, Kiefer Sutherland, that's a hook for me.
Absolutely.
Like I was like, oh, I'm all in now.
Yeah. Would you believe this film was turned into a stage play?
What?
In Japan in 2009. The writer James Cohen confirmed, he said, look, I never attended a showing, but he doesn't understand Japanese, so he wouldn't have understood it anyway. But apparently it ran successfully for 5 months.
Wow.
Can you believe it? Amazing. Anyway, your last exit before the freeway, before we dial in to Phone Booth, if you haven't seen it, you can catch it on Fetch.
Along with thousands of other movies and all the interesting stuff on the streaming apps, because Fetch is a all-in-one entertainment box for your home. And you can have multiple Fetch boxes. You can have a multi-room setup. So you can have a Fetch Mighty that records TV for you every day, every night, different shows. And those shows can be watched on the Fetch Minis in other rooms. You could have an antenna connected to a Fetch Mighty and use a Fetch Mini in another room to stream live TV across your Wi-Fi connection. So you don't need an antenna in every room. And of course, Netflix, Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, Prime Video, Paramount Plus, Stan, all available today on Fetch, along with 10,000 plus movies to rent or buy. And Fetch looks after you. When you say I want to watch a movie, it says here it is, and this don't pay for it. Here it is for free because you're already a subscriber to a service, and it gives you the best quality options first as well. Great service available at major retailers like JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman, and internet providers like Aussie Broadband and Telstra.
Okay, you have now watched Phone Booth.
Yep.
Give us, just share us just your first impressions.
I'm glad Forest Whitaker was in it because I'm a big fan.
Me too.
And the Kiefer Sutherland voice kind of kept me going because it's a weirdly relaxing voice. It's a weird thing for a hostage.
He has got a good voice,
though, taker to have as a trait.
And I knew you'd love it. Was a short movie too. One of the shortest movies we've done.
Yeah, because what is it? 1:20.
An hour 20.
Yeah,
and it was actually 1:15. If you include the credits it's 1:20,
which I did not include.
Yeah, you were out.
But no, I was engaged the whole way through. I didn't find much of it predictable, which is I think a good thing.
Sign of a good movie.
And I even like the fact that there are moments, and at the end especially, which we'll get to, but where you're meant to think something, but something else has happened. Those kind of things are quite good. So yeah, great script, great movie.
And your social media post / tweet / thread.
let's just find a way of saying that in future, I think. Here it is. Don't answer the phone. And if you don't know what that means, watch Phone Booth.
Oh. Don't answer the phone.
Don't answer the phone.
Okay.
And if you don't know what that means, watch Phone Booth.
Good call. Good call.
Would you answer the phone now?
Yeah.
Randomly, you'd answer a phone
phone
booth.
Where do you do it? There's no phone booths.
There are phone booths.
Some.
They call them, they don't call them pay phones anymore. They call them free phones now.
Free phones.
I noticed, in Australia, I noticed whether it was an ad or a influencer-style post in front of a payphone. Yeah, right. They said, and this free phone here allows, and I'm like, it's a payphone.
So for our international listeners, come to Australia and you make free phone calls.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw this at the movies, strangely enough. Rewatched it many times. It's one of those best short movies. Right. You can smash it out and watch it again really quickly, obviously. Let's look at the cast. And Colin Farrell, of course, plays Stu Shepherd. We did Minority Report, which he started. Remember, he played the cop that came in to investigate the whole pre-crime. He was also in Tigerland, which was directed by Joel Schumacher. That's how I think he got this gig from working with Joel on that film. He was in a movie called The Recruit. And in another movie that's on our list called In Bruges, it's a comedy, and it's a very funny movie about him in Bruges, which is a city in Europe.
Right.
And is the things that go down. It's a quite a funny movie. Your man, Forrest Whitaker, plays Detective Ramey. He won an Oscar, you know, for Last King of Scotland. He's really? An Oscar winner.
Wow.
He was also in a really good movie called The Butler, where he plays the butler at the White House. Cuba Gooding Jr. is his offsider as well.
Mm.
Really good film.
He's good in Godfather of Harlem.
Godfather of Harlem is on my list here. He was also in, I've got to bring the Star Wars reference in. Oh, he was in Rogue One. He was in Rogue One as well. He played a great role.
Good.
Did you notice Katie Holmes?
I did, yes.
She plays Pamela McFadden. And she was, you're a Dawson's Creek fan.
Yep.
Dawson's
Creek? I wouldn't say a fan, but
you know of her work.
I'm aware of her work. There you go.
Dawson's
that
Creek.
And other romantic.
She was in Batman Begins.
Interludes.
Batman Begins, right. And with Christian Slater. And she was in another film, a little independent that we're going to do. It was a really great movie in the 90s called Go. Sort of this intersecting stories, and it's a good movie. It's a hidden gem, top shelf hidden gems.
Top
We're going to do that as well. Australian actress Rada Mitchell, you know, his wife, Kelly Shepherd, Australian.
Wow.
Rada Mitchell, yeah. She was in Pitch Black, Man on Fire, and another film called Rogue. Before we get to the run through, though, let's chat about Hisense. And you know what? We love watching movies on a big screen.
I'd be happy to spend an hour and 20 just stuck in front of a Hisense TV.
Absolutely. Well, in this case, we're talking about a laser TV. So if you like the big screen experience, we're talking 100-inch, 120-inch. Size matters here. You can experience that with their Trichroma laser TV, the L9H series. Now, their laser TV is a short throw projector. So where you would normally put the television, imagine putting this short throw projector and it beams up on the wall on a special included screen, a 120-inch image. It's like you're at the movies. It has all the technology that Hisense puts into their TVs, including great brightness, really good picture quality, great color as well. It has Dolby Atmos and Dolby Vision. So you're getting all that, the audio quality and the screen quality, the picture quality as well. And it includes the ambient light rejecting screen. This is a special screen built for the short throw projector. So once the light bounces off this screen, it goes directly to where to your eyes and really eliminates any kind of brightness. So even during the day, you still be able to watch this quite clearly. It also has everything you'd expect from a Hisense TV, including the Vidar U6 operating system. So when you fire this up, it's got the same software as a Hisense TV. And you're able to then access all your streaming services. You can connect to a gaming console, play your games, watch your sport, everything you would enjoy on a TV, but just on a much larger scale. The laser TV from Hisense, it's the go big or go home choice, I think, if you really enjoy your movies, as we do here on our best movies you've never seen, hosted by the Two Blokes. I think this is a great choice if you want to enjoy that cinema at home experience. Check them out at hisense.com.au. The big screen. How good is it?
Love it.
Let's get into the movie now. And the setup here is that Stu Shepherd is a bit of a fast-talking publicist, you know, a bit of a sleazeball, you know, walking through Times Square.
You're meant to get a very clear impression of the bloke.
Within the first minute.
Minutes.
You know, he's this bloke, he's a wheeler dealer, he's got this young guy with him, he's sort of barking orders at him, talking on his phone and sort of saying,
bring them, phones.
Do this. And we get a sense of what he's like right early in the movie.
Donnie, listen to me. I said I'd get you magazine coverage and I'm getting you in the magazine. Look, you gotta trust me. No means yes to these people. Get What's Up Magazine on the line. Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, Donnie, I got What's Up Magazine on the other line. They want to know about you, so I'm hanging up.
This is Erica or Lars. I can't tell the difference.
You got Stu.
We said no.
And I didn't hear you, so I'm giving you a second chance.
We don't do magicians.
Magicians? Donnie G is an artist who happens to look like a supermodel. The new guys is offering him the cover.
New guys wants him?
And I haven't told my client, my favorite client, that I am making this call.
So he's playing everything one off against each other.
There's a lot. There's like several moments of that where he plays one off the other and plays games.
He knows people.
Everything
too,
you're meant to think, oh, that failed, but no, it was strategic. It's all very well done.
We also see him approach a cop. Did you recognize this cop?
He was in a few shows.
He was in Entourage. He was in Tulsa King.
Tulsa King. Somewhere else I recognize his name now. Good.
Yeah,
good eye.
Good character actor. But he plays a cop And we see Stu come up and kind of bribe him. He gives him some Britney Spears tickets and asks him for what's going down.
Stewie, the hardest working PR guy. How's business?
How many times I have to tell you, Wyatt, I'm a publicist. Tickets.
Tickets.
For Britney Spears, right?
You know you put the hole in show business, Stewie?
It's Stu. What you got for me?
They just checked Mrs. Sharp at the Bellevue again.
Page 6. Tell Britney I said my love. Enjoy the show.
So he gets that information, calls page 6, and says, look, here, I've got some info for you, but you need to give me something in return. I think she pulls out his facts out of the garbage bin.
Because he makes out like he wasn't meant to have sent the facts. He makes out like it's a big mistake and don't let the boss see that and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. When actually what he wants is for her to see that and publish that.
Absolutely right. And then he walks past this restaurant and I think he did a deal for some guy.
Is that moment where you meant to think something's happening, but it's not. He kind of races past the restaurant, but actually he intended to look like he was racing past to get the attraction of the owner.
Hey, not so fast, Stu. How come you run every time you go past my place, huh?
Because I'm busy, Mario.
Yeah? Well, no more drinks or free meals, okay? One lousy mention in the post, you expect to eat for 6 months? No.
Maybe, Mario. Just maybe I could throw the hippest party this month your way.
Stu.
No, I couldn't. My clients would kill me.
What hip party?
It's just Big Q, the hottest new rap star. There'll be local TV coverage.
9 and 11.
MTV, BET, VH1. But I promise other clients, Mario, people who actually pay me money.
No, you owe me, Stu.
Well, it's got to be the night of the 18th. You toss in the buffet for 80 people, record company will pick up the booze, and I will deliver you a truckload of celebrities.
Anything you want, okay?
Boom.
He turns him in an instant. He turns
remember the call he had before, that young rapper.
Was the young rapper that was filthy that he hadn't organised this party and he didn't have a venue for it, and suddenly he finds a venue. Like, the bloke, he's a genius. He's very good at his job.
Yeah. A couple of things to talk about here. We've established his character. We're We've established his character.
Yeah.
And I think early impressions were not meant to like this guy. We're meant to not like him. What did you think?
Yeah, I think you're meant to feel somewhat distasteful towards him.
Yeah.
I think you're also meant to feel a bit of not love, but you liked him a little bit because he's actually achieving for his clients.
Yeah.
Sure, he's sleazy and he's playing games, but he's achieving. That's all that matters.
Yeah, fair enough.
What does it matter?
I think it adds to his, you know, his turnaround at the end of the movie. If you're not liking him, because by the end of the movie,
yeah, that's right.
You want him to change. You want to like him.
Yes.
You want him to come clean and which we see.
Yeah, as you learn a lot more about him, I think you learn to hate him more, and then the arc becomes even greater.
He's ducked into the phone booth. Now, we're in the phone booth. Yes. Here it is.
I
think it was like 5 minutes into the movie, if that.
Oh, really?
He's into the movie. He's in the booth.
And it's a weird thing because he sent off his assistant. He's got two mobile phones. He sends off his assistant. But this is back in the day when minutes were expensive.
Yeah.
It was expensive to use mobile calls, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense. If you put it this way, if you're a younger generation watching this going, what the hell is he doing there?
What is that box?
My initial thought, despite the fact that there's a few other things we learn about why he makes these calls, is it's just cheaper.
True. But also I think this is also one of the last remaining phone booths. I think at the start of the movie there was a bit of a commentary about how many cell phones there are less and less of these.
In fact, this one's slated to be removed like next week.
That's correct, yeah. So this was one of the last times.
Sorry, you haven't told me, but have you been to this location?
Hold that thought. It's not actually in New York.
An address.
Yeah, 53rd and 8th. Yeah, right. I have walked through that neighbourhood and there's no phone booth there, trust me. He ducks into the booth. And he's about to make a call, and a pizza delivery guy approaches and offers him a pie.
Excuse me. I'm trying to make a call here.
This is for you. Half pepperoni, half mushroom, extra crisp.
Yeah, you ever heard of delivering a pizza to a fucking phone booth? I don't think so.
Gentlemen occupying phone booth, 53rd between Broadway and 8th.
It's a mistake.
What am I supposed to do with the pie? It's all paid for.
Homeless guy just ran the block. Give him the pizza and say you can turn away from it, but you can't make it go away. How's that?
They think I'm trying to poison them. They always get that idea.
They don't want the fucking pizza, all right?
That language is uncalled for.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. Please return a sender. Fuck off. There you go, $5. Eat the pizza yourself. You look like you could use a good meal.
So again, pretty much
such a lovely bloke, isn't he?
Bloke,
yeah. This now, was one of those moments where it's like, I really don't like this guy. Was super rude there.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask a question ahead of time here.
Oh, okay.
That pizza guy.
Yeah.
When he gets the call, did you think it was him? Was he a suspect in your mind?
At no point.
You never thought that?
At no point.
Okay.
Nope.
We'll come back to that.
At no point.
Right. Now, he's in the booth and he is clearly wanting to avoid this call being recorded anywhere. So he doesn't want this to appear on his bill, let's just say.
Yeah, I didn't get that at this point. I got that from the sniper later on.
Yeah.
That was made clear to me.
Did you initially think you wanted just quiet? You wanted a bit more quiet?
Quiet and save money.
Okay. Well, he also took off his wedding ring. Did you notice that?
His wedding ring. That was a key teller as to who he was calling. Yes. Yeah.
So
it was a phone call, but anyway.
A woman named Pamela, who we just said that's Katie Holmes' character. And he's chatting to her and trying to get her to come down to the hotel, the city hotel, which is near the booth. And as he's hung up, the phone in the booth starts ringing.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? You hear a phone ring and it could be anybody. But a ringing phone has to be answered, doesn't
it? Great voice.
What?
I hope you realize how you've hurt my feelings.
Who the fuck is this?
Don't even think about leaving that phone booth.
Wrong number, pal.
It was a perfectly delicious pizza, and you're certainly going to wish you had accepted it.
Oh, naturally, this is part of the same gag, the pizza bit. That was some funny shit.
Yeah, well, its purpose was to keep your strength up for what's coming next.
What's coming next is I'm hanging up.
Oh, no, you won't. You're going to learn to obey me.
Obey you? Who is this?
Someone who enjoys watching you.
Watching me?
Yes, I love the suit you're wearing today. The black on raspberry sorbet, very Italian.
Where are you?
There are hundreds of windows out there. Why don't you check them out?
He has got his velvety voice.
It's such a nice voice. Also, there's no doubt they went to a lot of effort with the microphone that he had.
Oh,
because the choice of a microphone can turn a velvety voice into a raspberry voice very easily.
Just listen to us.
Of course. I mean, we've gone high tech here.
The phone in that booth actually worked. And that's how, when he was delivering his lines, there was someone talking to him back. So Kiefer Sutherland's lines were delivered back
to him.
So his voice was dubbed in after for the film.
Right.
But someone was at the other end looking at the script and replying to everything he said. So he was talking to him on
the
phone.
Is that so they could do a lot of continuous shots kind of thing?
Yeah, well,
and keep the pace just going?
Just to do it. So he's got someone to play off.
Because you're normally playing off an actor. Yeah, that makes sense.
So someone was talking to him at the other end.
Yeah.
Stu hangs up. Just before he hung up, did you hear the caller mention his wife's name?
Yeah. And that's your first trigger to go.
Going to call Kelly.
And he doesn't twig to it. He doesn't really react to that. But you, having just experienced it, like you go, hang on a minute.
I think he steps out of the booth and has a look around thinking, what the hell? Remember, he's trying to sort of look around.
Mm.
And then the phone rings once again.
Hello.
Well, hello, Pam.
Hi, who's this?
It's a good friend of Stu's. And he hasn't got many.
You know Stu?
I know he lies.
Stu's on the other line.
Who is this?
Don't worry about that. Stu's listening in. He can hear what we're saying about him.
Stu, is that true? Are you there?
Look, Pam, just hang up the goddamn phone.
She can't hear you, Stu. Pam, I'm afraid Stu hasn't been totally honest with you.
What do you mean?
Don't fucking do this.
Stu has been lying to you.
Pam, hang up.
Now, why would a man who has a cell phone call you every day from a phone booth?
Because he said it's quiet.
Pam, that's just stupid. It's because his wife checks his cell phone bills. No record of his calls to you.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's just stupid.
That's one of the great lines, don't you reckon? That's just stupid.
I'd love to know if that was scripted or that was like just during the recording. It's like, that's just stupid.
So we know that he then asks Stu to call his wife.
Mm.
And it's at this point where he starts to get hassled by the hookers. The hookers come up and say, "Hey, you're going to get off the phone." Yeah, they need it
because
they need it to run their business. But Stu goes ahead though and calls Kelly.
Hello.
Hold it close to the receiver so I can hear.
Stu.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in a phone booth.
Baby, I just got this call from this guy who said you'd be calling me from a booth to tell me something important.
Yeah, there's a lot of prank calling going on today, baby.
Tell her you call women from your little phone booth and invite them to have drinks at discreet hotels.
I'm not talking to you, baby.
Someone's got company.
Honey, who is that woman?
It's just some hookers trying to use the phone.
Please call me a hooker.
He's calling a hooker.
Stu, are you sure there's nothing wrong?
So the scene's been set here, right? He's in the booth.
Yep.
Hookers are hassling him.
Yep.
He's talked to both Pamela and his wife in the space of 2 minutes. And there's this mysterious caller who is trying to play him against his mistress or hopeful mistress and his wife.
Yeah.
Now, as at this
he's
point.
Now, he's now literally in a corner. Like,
yeah, in a box.
Yeah, in a box, but he's also in a corner because he now knows that someone else knows his dirty dark secret.
When you saw this part, when you got to this bit of the movie, were you thinking, how can an entire movie be inside a phone box? Is that what you were thinking?
No.
Were you aware that it was going to be, had you an inkling?
I think you told me.
Yeah.
I think you said it last week. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. Like at this point, I'm fine.
Oh, no, there's enough things happening to engage you here.
Yeah.
And including the hookers who are getting even more restless outside.
Yes.
Now the sniper tells Stu, he tells him he's looking at him through a scope.
And he uses the red dot, doesn't he, to prove
and
that
he
to
says,
him.
Look, I'm not looking through binoculars. He explains
and he cocks the
sniper.
Gun to hear it.
Yeah. And he says, look, you hang up, I'm going to kill you. The caller says he has a sniper rifle with a scope, right? Hmm. Caller demonstrates the sniper shot. He goes, you're full of shit, mate. Righto, whatever. And do you remember there was a vendor selling
those toy robots? And he just annihilates one of them.
He just smashes, he shoots the robot and shatters near right next to the booth.
Right, his
and he
feet, goes, basically. Righto.
The vendor blows up and he gives him some money to shut him up. but then the caller comes back on the line. Well, he's still on the line. He hasn't hung up the line. And compares him to some other victims.
You're doing so much better than the others. You read about the German porn king shot 10 days ago, didn't you, at 38th and 8th? He thought he was an artist and wouldn't admit that he was just a pedophile. Believe me, he had plenty of chances to come clean. And of course, you must have read about the corporate executive shot in the head at 47th and 10th. What you probably didn't read was that he cashed in all of his stocks just before the bottom fell out, while all the little guys lost everything. Now, if he had been willing to make amends, share the money, things might have been different.
So
you get a sense from phone booth guy that he's aware of these incidents. Like they don't. It's not like he's going, "What are you talking about?"
Yep.
He's essentially aware of the two incidents he talks about. So it's like, "Hang on a minute, this is getting a bit real now."
Yeah,
I think this is the moment. Aside from the playing off the wife and the girlfriend, this is the moment where he's like, "Wait a minute."
Yeah,
like what's going on?
This is real.
Yeah.
Now the guy, the pimp, I'm assuming, comes over and with his girls and tells Stu to leave the booth. He says, look, I can't end this call, mate. Here's $120 to go away. And he goes, no, mate, you want this booth? Give me $500 if you want to rent the whole booth out.
Mm.
And it escalates. He starts kicking the booth and then he goes off to get a baseball bat. Starts beating up. The caller tells Stu, get rid of him. Whatever it takes, get rid of him.
Yeah.
Now, the caller, when the guy comes back, so don't forget, the caller's still on the line talking to Stu. He goes, Stu can see the red dot
guy's
shirt.
He's now
and
aware
he says,
of this.
I can stop this if you want. Do you want me to stop it? And Stu says yes.
You shot me. Don't you fucking shoot me.
You said yes.
I can hear you. Not yes, kill the motherfucker.
You ought to be more careful with what you say.
Oh, my God.
Motherfucker!
It wasn't me! Where's the gun? Do you see a gun?
Because it's a great...
People assume he shot him.
But it shows this bloke's trigger happy for a start because he'll happily... Like, that's the proof that he's happy to do it. He's done it before. He'll do it again.
Yep.
And it's this whole thing where the hookers are now like, you shot him. And he's like, what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And remember when earlier when he goes, oh, you shoot someone, he goes, it's going to get attention.
Mm.
And then when he was dead, everyone's saying, can you see people rushing around here? No one knows anything. It's just everyone assumes because I think... The caller thinking, he's in the booth, this bloke's attacking the booth. If he gets shot, everyone's going to assume it was the guy in the booth.
Of course.
No one's going to assume it's a sniper.
No.
So he thought, okay, let's
have
a go.
And, you know, this is America.
Yeah.
He could have shot him with a handgun and put it in his pocket.
Oh, yeah. Stu, at this point, calls 911. So he's still on the phone booth phone.
Yes, but he gets
his mobile
911
in his pocket, right? And he tries to get their attention. And the caller realizes this, and he shoots him and grazes his ear.
Like, good shot.
Yeah. He's pretty accurate, and he nicks his ear. He's got blood now running down the side of his head.
Yeah.
Police finally turn up and try to negotiate with him. Detective Ramey also arrives. Now, the caller, here's the bit where it was awkward for him and also for Captain Ramey, for Detective Ramey. He says, ask the detective why his wife left him.
Because he's
got the dirt on the detective as well.
No, he says that. He says, we had marriage counseling. Like, he talked, the detective says too much, essentially, and that lets the caller throw some questions that no other normal person would ask.
No, he says, I insulted him. He goes, what, you were no good in bed or something? Yeah. Or why did your wife leave you? And then Stu's repeating this back. And
it gets really awkward and uncomfortable.
Here's a point here where I think he's lucky that Ramey was not a hothead.
What do you think he would have done if he was?
Imagine if he might have got insulted and goes, okay, you want to play it like that, mate? Ramey was level-headed enough to think, well, this guy, I'm not going to allow suicide by a cop.
Yeah.
And I think that's what saved Stu's life, the fact that Ramey was not a hothead.
Of course.
You know what?
Like, his whole character. Because remember, there's a hothead negotiator also who's turned up, and he's like, Ramey's like, mate, wait.
He literally pushes him away. Yes.
Tells him to go away. Yeah. He gets the irrit. So you get this sense that Ramey's a different style of cop.
Mate, and I reckon,
I think you meant to think that.
Yeah, saved his life, I reckon, right there.
100%.
Ramey asks them to try trace the call. Meanwhile, the news crews are starting to arrive, so it's become a story now.
And our caller is loving that. You're front page news, buddy.
So I think Stu kind of gets in. It's kind of fight or flight here, and he's trying to negotiate now. He's thinking, well, what can I do here for this guy?
Think about it. You'll be famous. Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, fucking Jeffrey Dahmer. Name a victim, you can. And anyway, I don't deserve to be the center of attention. It ought to be you they're covering.
No, all that attention would embarrass me.
I know exactly the spin to put on this.
How your terror inspires your creativity?
Listen, this could be a media frenzy. All right, you'd get Barbara Walters, Larry King, if you still wanted him.
See, that approach seems predicated upon me surrendering myself without killing you.
No. Listen. We can make you sympathetic. Sit down with a writer, bang out a book, movie of the week. Get America on your side.
He's a publicist again, yeah.
He's getting desperate again, You're right, he's fallen into publicist mode.
And now his phone rings in his pocket. Because at this point, you've got this moment where he's not allowed to reach into his pocket because the cops will assume he's pulling something out and shoot him.
Exactly, yeah.
So he's been told not to reach into his pocket. His phone rings, so he can't reach into his pocket, and he's thinking, what the hell do I do here?
Yeah.
And I think the caller says,
aren't you going to answer it? It's your wife calling.
It's your wife. And he's thinking, well, he must know that he must have eyes on my wife as well. But then the wife turns up.
Yeah.
But the caller doesn't know that initially.
No.
And so Stu's like, it's you on the phone. It's a nice little moment.
Stu's wife, Kelly, turns up and he goes, it's you, you sick bastard. He's saying, you're trying to get me shot.
Yeah.
Kelly arrives. She tells him he's not on the phone with his shrink. Remember, he says, I'm on the phone to a doctor or something earlier on.
Yeah.
And there was even one point where they're debating, as we can't listen in. It's patient client privilege.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Because he claimed it was his psychiatrist.
Yeah. So
they can't bug the line.
But what does Stu do here? Stu denies it's his wife. He goes, that's not my wife. Well, I think he's going away.
Don't you think he's worried that she's going to get killed?
Well, for sure.
The caller knows that's his wife.
Yeah, and then the caller has Kelly in his sights. You see the target on her, and you think, okay, what are we going to do here? Now, we also learn that the caller has covered his tracks, and we realize that he also cannot be traced.
These geniuses are still at the juncture box trying to tap in. Only I have installed an encryption device at both ends of the line. There's no chance of a trap trace, so now they've got to try some fancy low-jack instrument. It's really sad. I hope you weren't pinning your hopes on those morons. Truth is, I'm on a wireless ADS with a clone number. It'll take them at least a half an hour to find out that I've call-forwarded through Philadelphia. And let me tell you, this will all be over before they can get a dial tone.
We can't get a trace or break into the line. It's like a ball of rubber bands.
I knew there was something weird about this.
The cop, kind of admitting that he's got a different gut feeling here.
Yeah.
Like, I think every other cop there is thinking, let's kill the bloke. He's an idiot, yada, yada, yada. But this cop has a different feeling.
They're not. The other cops would have been running through a checklist. But this cop's thinking, he goes, no, this is weird. This is not right.
Yeah.
Stu asks what he wants him to do. The caller says, he says, look, what I want you to do, I want you to confess.
Kelly, I called some woman.
Every day.
Every day. I was attracted to this other woman, and I called her, and...
I wanted to fuck her.
And I wanted to sleep with her.
Not enough.
No, I wanted to fuck her. Say it. Say it!
And I wanted to fuck her. I'm sorry.
Whatever you did, I don't care.
Whew. That's
please,
a relief.
Just come out of the booth, okay?
That's all I did. That's all I did. I'm sorry.
So I was thinking his thoughts. He's getting his thought. He called her as well, I guess. His action yeah, there as well.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Like that's all he did.
Yeah.
And he's now in the line of fire.
Yeah. I question that myself. That's a discussion for later okay. in the podcast. Yeah. But the caller is continuing to antagonize him.
One shot and they'll be looking for you. A second shot, you give yourself away.
Go on, Stuart. Hang up. Trust your fate to the friendly men in flak jackets with automatic weapons. I'm sure you can patch up that little misunderstanding about the dead body.
Cops can't prove I killed anyone.
You had motive.
No weapon.
Plenty of loudmouthed witnesses.
No gun and I walk.
Are you sure?
Yes!
Yeah. You murder a guy and you forget where you stashed your gun. Why don't you lift the plastic ceiling panel and feel around? Peekaboo.
That's the genius.
Because
all along you're thinking this is an easy win for old mate. He's just got to avoid the bullet and the cops are fine here. But old mate's 10 steps ahead. There's a gun up there.
You can just see the outline of it in the the little perspex.
Very well done. But they also use a camera that's kind of in there as well, up in the top.
When you see his hand reaching in there.
It's very well done.
I think he touches it. He goes, oh, now you get
your fingerprints on it. Yes.
So the caller starts also to tease his location. He's thinking, oh, do you see those pink curtains up here and all this? And he's looking around.
And you do see movement in those curtains. Then he goes, I'm not there. That's just some old
and
lady.
And he's trying to go, mate, use the gun. Get the gun. He's trying to get him to use it. But then, of course.
The other lady turns up.
The other lady turns up.
Looks like someone watches the news. The motel.
God.
I think she could use a new headshot.
Don't!
Then take down the gun.
Look, this has nothing to do with her.
She has everything to do with this, Stuart. You're here because you called her. She's here because you called her. Now take it down. Don't make me hurt Pam, Stuart. Take down the gun.
Everybody get ready. Hold on. Let's just see what he does, all right? Let's just see what he's doing. Hold on.
There's nothing there.
Nothing but your fingerprints on the cop killer money can buy. Come on, Stu. Let's see it.
Let's go. He really wants him to bring out the gun because he knows
that's him dead.
That he'll be shot.
Yeah,
yes.
It's him gone. But he's
so
also...
At this point, I don't think it's going to plan.
No, well, he doesn't take the gun out. So the next step for the caller
is do you think at this
say,
point the no, caller...
The caller's thinking, okay, I want to shoot someone. You choose between Kelly, Pam, or Kelly.
Stuart, you've got to be more in touch with your feelings. I thought you only loved Kelly.
It's true.
But you lied to her.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Then I'll uncomplicate it, Stuart, by removing temptation. I say Pam.
No, look, this isn't Pam's fault. This is all my fault. She's innocent.
Oh, tick-tock. Time's running out. Okay, Kelly, then. You decide.
No, please!
Come on, Stu. Don't you get the game yet? You're a selfish guy. Pick one and save yourself.
So, Raimi, don't forget, is still Steven. Working in the background.
Steven.
Yeah.
You're in the phone booth.
Yeah.
Your wife and the woman that you've been calling.
Yeah.
Do you pick one?
Me.
Or do you take the shot?
I'd pick one. Yeah. I'd say, well, you know what? Nice while it lasted. Even though I didn't get anywhere.
See you later, girlfriend.
See you, Pamela.
You would be the girlfriend.
Well, hang on a minute. Trevor Long in the booth and your wife and your... female that you've been calling every day hoping to get into the hotel.
This is much more difficult when you're
So it's look, would you say, well, just shoot me? Would you cop the bullet or what would you do? How would it rest on your conscience that this girl that you had your eye on and calling and bringing her into this situation How would that rest on your conscience if he just goes
I
boom?
I would have pissed my pants. Shoot me now. Just shoot me.
I'm just wondering, right, legally, how that would have played out. Like, say that his actions in the – I know the sniper is the one who pulls the trigger.
Oh, yeah, his actions. How like him would saying, yeah, pinpointing her.
How
yeah.
would it play out in a courtroom? Like, how would you appeal that?
If they caught the sniper, he'd be like, he's an accomplice, yeah.
Yeah.
He chose.
Yeah. Maybe that's
they'd
a
have to have a record.
Phone booth too.
I want to talk about that later too.
Yeah. Look, I think Raimi, though, is still – he approaches him. He's trying to get on his level.
Yep.
He says, look, mate, trust me. I want you know, he asks him to trust him.
Is this also where there's a little bit of Raimi detecting what's going on and starting yes. to use some weird language, like we're looking for your lawyer, but he doesn't mean
yes,
his lawyer,
that's
he
the
means
one.
Him?
Yes, exactly right. So he's still looking out for him.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, the question I put in the notes is, how would this have played out in reality? If this was a real situation, then there's a guy in a booth, a bloke dead.
There's no gun. Like at this point, yeah. no one could – well, look, in America I can't speak, but yeah. in Australia, yeah. there's no gun. So there's currently no
yeah.
threat.
Well,
but
like,
they've got – they have snipers on him. Yeah. So as soon as – it would be as soon as you see a gun, you wouldn't yeah. wait.
Because it's not quite a siege, right? So no. I was thinking of Lint Cafe, right? Remember Lint Cafe?
That's true.
There's a guy in there with a gun. They're thinking, we can't – this hostage's got a gun.
I think they learned from that they should have gone in earlier, right? So
well, maybe, but in this instance, it's a guy in a phone booth on a
and
phone.
And there's no gun.
But there's a dead man. And they're thinking, how did that happen?
And there's a man saying, I didn't do it. Where's the gun?
Yeah. And they establish that there's someone talking to him on the phone. And, yeah, unique little situation.
Very. But there's no doubt that Raimi now knows.
Yeah, he's on Stu's side now.
He also now knows that there's someone else in this.
Oh, yeah, someone else involved.
I think he knows there's a sniper. He just doesn't articulate that.
That's established. But the caller says, though, he says, you know what, it's do or die time, I think. So but Stu's still talking.
Come on, Stu. Humble yourself in front of your loved ones and millions of strangers and me. It's do or die time.
Well, you couldn't find anyone worse than me. Not a murderer or a child molester, but a publicist who has fantasies about pretty little actresses. Who spends all his money on Italian suits and dry cleaning so people think he's important. Who doesn't waste his time being nice to people who aren't any use to him. These are my crimes.
Stuart, I know your crimes. Tell them.
Interesting. He admits to some of his actions.
Yeah, I think the best line there is, you couldn't find anyone worse than me.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Honestly,
right.
I'm
not a child molester.
Like, okay, I don't know what you want me to admit to here, but I'm pretty confident.
Yeah. I haven't murdered anyone.
I've white-ended some people out of their jobs and stuff, but I don't think that's cause for this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
But you know what? But it's an opportunity.
It's a great
now.
Line.
Stu is now. It's full on. The phone booth has turned into a confessional, and
he's
making a massive confession.
Full on.
I've never done anything for anybody who couldn't do something for me.
Yeah.
I string along an eager kid with promises that I'll pay him money. I only keep him around because he looks up to me. Adam, if you're watching, don't be a publicist. You're too good for it. I lie in person. And on the phone, I lie to my friends. I lie to newspapers and magazines who sell my lies to more and more people. I'm just a part of a big cycle of lies. I should be fucking president. I wear all this Italian shit because underneath I still feel like the Bronx. I think I need these clothes and this watch. My $2,000 watch is a fake and so am I. I neglected the things I should have valued most. I value this shit.
So he's starting to realise a few things now.
Mm.
We haven't heard from the caller for a while though, right? So the caller has stayed silent for a bit here.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Stu is still confessing his sins and his fears.
Yep.
I should be alone. I've been dressing up as something I'm not for so long. I'm so afraid you won't like what's underneath. But here I am. I just flesh and blood. And weakness. I love you so fucking much. I take off this ring because it only reminds me of how I failed you. I don't want to give you up. I want to make things better, but it may not be my choice anymore.
Now, according to Kiefer Sutherland,
yep.
right, he said this in the extras. Colin Farrell's tears in that scene were real.
Wow.
Now, apparently, this according to Kiefer Sutherland, yeah. Colin Farrell's an insomniac, a chronic insomniac, right?
Uh-huh.
And he was not able to sleep the night before filming that scene. And he's thinking, look, I've got to shoot all day. And luckily, he nailed that. That was the first take, and he nailed it on the first take. So wow. He didn't have to shoot for that entire time. But those tears were genuine.
Wow.
He was worried about it, and he hadn't had any sleep. So awesome. Yeah. It actually helped with his delivery there.
Yeah, probably.
Now, the cops call out that they've got a location of one of the call tracers, and Raimi tells his lawyer, in inverted commas, that his lawyer is on the way.
And so Stu and Raimi are now speaking another language to each other, but Stu's across it. Like he understands what he means. And basically, I think Stu goes off early here. I don't think Stu should have done what he did. Do you?
It was a quick turnaround.
I think he should have kept his cards closed and let the cops do their job.
But no, instead he says, they're coming for you.
If this is true, Stuart, then I have to take someone with me, don't I? And since Kelly is the most important thing to you in your life, I'll take her.
But take me! Take me! This is about me! I'm the fucking one you want! Take me!
He's got the gun now.
It's about me! Come on! Take me! It's me you want!
So you see him, he grabs the gun, he gets shot.
Yes.
But you're wondering who shot him.
I immediately knew because they showed the smoke coming from a cop gun.
Right.
But what you didn't notice, and we find this out in a minute, is they actually showed earlier in the movie the loading of that particular gun.
Right.
They showed him load the rubber bullets.
Oh, you saw that?
Yes.
Oh.
I didn't know what it was when they showed it.
But they showed a gun being loaded.
If you look back, yes, but it's clearly not a cartridge. It's a white cartridge.
Okay, that's a good eye.
Yeah.
So the police storm the apartment where they think the caller is, which I think the caller sort of gave away his position.
Well, no, but let me tell you, as a first-time viewer, they've stormed the apartment, the gun's out the window, there's a dead body.
Yes.
So they've got him.
But guess who the dead body is, though?
When they show the dead body, I immediately know they don't have him.
Yeah. Well, there's the pizza guy.
There's no way the pizza guy was responsible for this.
They find a man wounded, a lot of blood. Stu's been shot by the rubber bullet. They say his wife is fine. Raimi says they've got him. Kelly rushes over to see. They bring down the body. It's the pizza guy.
Yeah. So Stu's now.
Are you meant to assume? So what were you thinking here? That it's the pizza guy or not?
I knew it wasn't him.
Because he doesn't look like Kiefer Sutherland.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, no, here's a funny thing.
Yeah.
At no point did I think I was ever going to see Kiefer Sutherland in this movie.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was a voice on the other line. And so part of me went, oh, your voice changer, pizza guy. But it just felt too easy.
Yeah, too contrived.
It felt too easy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and so I never believed it was the pizza guy.
That was meant to be a diversion.
Yes.
Yeah, it was meant to be a red herring.
But I think for the viewer, you're meant to question the red herring.
Yeah.
But for Stu, it's been a day-long roller coaster. There's no way he's meant to question the red herring. Do you know what I mean? He's meant to believe.
He's meant to believe that this guy actions, that I was angry and
correct. He's meant to believe that by simply being an arsehole to this guy.
Yeah. He put him through the ringer.
Yep.
Okay, well, at this point, Stu and his wife have made up. Don't know where Pamela is. She's bolted.
Probably,
yeah. They put him in the back of an ambulance. And
they sedate him. Because he's had a big day.
Oh, yeah. But have a guess who turns up to see him, though. It's
Kiefer.
It's Sutherland. Our man, the caller.
Nice shoes. Italian. You hung up, Stu. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. I feel bad about the pizza guy. But I couldn't miss seeing you and Kelly reunited. You don't have to thank me, nobody ever does. I just hope your newfound honesty lasts. Because if it doesn't, you'll be hearing from me.
So the caller then, which is Kiefer Sutherland, walks past the phone booth, has a look inside, and as the credits roll...
He's carrying a rifle bag.
Yeah, it's a big, big, big case.
Hello! Through a crime scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So just leave that little tidbit out there.
They might have thought it was his golf clubs.
Go on.
But as he's walking by and the screen fades to black and the credits come up, you hear the phone ring.
Yeah.
Do you hear that?
No.
The phone rings again.
Yeah.
I think, ooh. All righty. some favourite quotes here, some lines. Yep. I like this one. Remember that little rapper, Q, I think what his name is? Remember he's sitting in the back of this big limo, two massive guys, like his bouncers next to him. And
yes, this
he's
is good.
He's trying to pose that he sort of doesn't cop any shit from his publicist.
Yeah, there's two premieres, a fundraiser. All the happening places are booked. If we move the date by two nights...
Who do I you do, motherfucker, from Big Q to Big Stew?
Right, Big Q, be reasonable.
Motherfucker, I'm a gangster. I don't gotta be reasonable. I don't gotta be reasonable.
You're cutting out.
Hello? Q? You keep talking about me like that.
He's funny. It's a well-cast character because he's this diminutive little white guy sat between two huge black bodyguards. He's meant to not look like a gangster.
Yeah. And this was Stu's line to get Pamela to come down to the hotel.
Look, I just got out of a press conference at the City Hotel and I was thinking... Maybe you could come down here. You know, there are a couple of people and a few martinis I'd like to introduce you to.
A few martinis want to introduce you to. Here's one of my favorites. Yeah. When the hookers are sort of they're tangling with him in the phone booth.
Right.
And one of the girls claims that she gets injured.
Motherfuckers, this is my phone. God damn it, man. You done made me hurt my dick hand.
Oh, I'm sure you're just as good with the other hand. Yeah.
Sure, you just go the other hand.
That is a good line. Yeah, I will admit that. That is a good line.
Righto. How did that happen? Plot hole-ish. The red dot lasers looked very fake, don't you reckon? The red dots, very hard to film.
Look, I've never been in the presence of an actual sight laser. But
it was a special effect. The visible, in daylight, very hard to spot a red dot.
Oh, you're saying it was an effect afterwards.
On the shirts. That wasn't real. Right. No way. The red dot
reckon?
Seen in the film, it's an optical effect. Okay. Special effect. Plot hole. Stu's reason for using the phone booth is to speak to Pamela so it's not on his cell phone records, his logs.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Is it, don't you reckon he could cover his tracks? He's a publicist speaking to a client. So this is a client.
Yeah, but if she's
is she a singer or an actress or something?
Yeah, I guess.
But he can't say, hang on, what?
He calls it every day at the same time.
But his wife says, why the hell? I said, she's my client. I'm trying. I tell her I'm going to ring her this time every day to give her an update.
Maybe he's sick of those questions.
Okay. I just think it was a bit much to do.
I'm okay with it.
He could have not even gone to the phone booth and saved himself
the trouble. He could have just had another burner.
Yeah. Of course. This is another, like a little bit of a pull up here on something that happens. Remember they sedate him?
Yeah.
And leave him by himself?
Yeah, that was a bit weird.
Yeah, you're supposed to, once you administer that kind of medication, you need to stay with them in case they have a reaction to the medication.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Ambo's done had a shock.
Yeah.
The Ambo, I think, has been paid off by the caller, I reckon. Things you might not know. The film set in New York, filmed in LA.
What a shock.
You can actually see the news reporters arriving. There's a shot of a female reporter in one scene, and you can actually see in the corner of the screen an LA public transport bus.
Well, I'll give you the bigger pothole.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch as the TV crews arrive, I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but the TV crew, there's two TV vans, channels 8 and channel 9.
Yeah.
And he says channels 5 and channel 6 are here.
Yeah.
They're different numbers.
Different numbers, there you go. Yeah,
like literally different numbers on the vans. I don't know how they make that mistake in a movie.
I agree. Things you might not know, extras had not read the script. So a lot of their reactions to what was happening was real. They're thinking, man, my God, what's he done here? And bang. So
right, that's good.
A lot of that, was genuine, yeah. The events of the film occur in real time. So there's no
time jump. So if you timed it, did it all feel?
Yeah, it feels like it's just you watching someone live. It's like a live
Kiefer Sutherland
event.
Loves a real time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he insisted on it, as a matter of fact. All the actors had earpieces and radio mics so they could hear what everyone was doing. So all the actors were all, the cops could hear, like the actors.
So if you're not standing
Forrest
close.
Forrest Whitaker could hear what was being discussed and just so they're in the scene. You know.
Yeah, nice.
The guy who, Larry Cohen, the writer, wrote another film similar to this one. Called Cellular. It's actually not a bad movie. I think Chris Evans is in it and Kim Basinger.
Okay.
It's called Cellular. It came out in 2004 and it's about a guy trapped on a cell phone trying to find someone and he's on the phone the whole time. Not a bad movie. My takeaway was how the hell did his battery last so long?
Yeah.
He's on the phone so long. But it's very much, it's about, Cellular's about a man still trapped on a phone but he could go anywhere but he still couldn't hang up on the call.
Right. Okay.
So similar sort of premise. Kiefer Sutherland was cast as the villain, but his likeness did not appear on any of the posters. So I think but when it came out in the theaters, they didn't want to spoil the fact that he was going to be the bad guy.
Nice.
Because you never saw him. You only heard him for 99% of the movie.
Yep, gotcha.
But he was, when it was released on video, they did put his face on the cover as well.
Right. So okay, interesting.
They threw it in there. The scenes inside the phone booth, it took 10 days to shoot that all entirely.
That's pretty good.
The other two, there was a 12-day schedule, so 10 days spent in the booth.
It's a good theory to keep a movie simple.
Yeah, absolutely right. And the other 2 days were used for the exterior shots of the surroundings of the booth, you know, the hookers and everyone else walking around and stuff.
Wow.
What you saw in the movie was not the original ending. They did change the original ending. The original ending had Stu stepping out of the phone booth and grabbing remember he had the gun in his hand and firing randomly up at the windows. And then Raimi steps into and he does get shot with the rubber bullets. He gets off a couple of shots, but they do take him down with the rubber bullets. Raimi gets into the phone booth and hears the SWAT team capturing the caller.
Right.
And the script finishes with Raimi wanting a final statement from the caller, and he says, "You'll never forget me. I gave you the most thrilling day of your life." He says thanks, and then he's killed.
Oh,
so that was the other ending that the caller dies.
I would have merged the two and had him get away, but still, like when that phone rings, have Raimi pick it up and have him have the caller
the
say, "You'll
him,
never
you're
forget
never
me,"
gonna get me
and then he walks away.
Yeah, I reckon they could
do you know
be
what
something
I mean?
Like that, yeah. There's one little did you notice in this movie. Now, Pamela, something she says is the did you notice. It's it kind of – don't forget, this movie was released in 2002.
Mm.
She didn't start dating Tom Cruise until from 2006.
Right.
But there is a scene where she's saying, "Oh, my scene partner, we're doing a scene from Jerry Maguire." And she says that in acting class she's going to play – the Tom Cruise part.
Oh, wow.
And she ends up marrying him.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Three questions for Trev.
Hit me.
How many times was the F-bomb dropped in this movie? Have a guess.
I don't know. 32?
More.
Way more. I don't know.
Higher.
65.
Higher.
120.
Higher.
180.
Lower.
150.
143.
Wow.
Yeah. That's solid. And it's only 1 hour, 15-minute movie.
Yeah, they've really dropped it every.
They packed it in. Yeah. When do you think New York officially removed its very last public payphone? I have an answer for this.
Wow, I would have thought there'd still be one there.
It's not. May the 23rd. Only recently. May 23, 2022.
Wow.
They got rid of the last public payphone.
Interesting.
The other question three, and we just kind of touched on this, was the caller a touch harsh choosing to punish Stu for thinking about adultery?
Yeah,
I mean, he did. He was thinking about committing adultery. He's a wheeler dealer and a bit of a scumbag.
Well, this is where I get to this movie is actually perfect for a sequel.
Yeah.
And I would watch it because you need to know why he chose. So I think you could go, obviously, you don't do another phone booth.
Yeah.
But he's scoping someone
else.
Get him
on a cell phone this time.
He's scoping someone else, And through that negotiation, you learn why he's got this thing against adulterous behavior.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just, you know what I would have preferred? I would have liked if there was something, because I think early in the movie he goes, "Are you some actor I pissed off?" Remember he's asking who he was?
Yeah.
I would
something
have loved
to
there to
the
be
two.
A link for him to say, "Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, I agree.
Do you remember this person you promised the world?"
I'm surprised there's not a follow-up movie.
Yeah. Well, I think in the movie there should have been a qualifier because you think about it, he killed a pedophile and a guy who bottoms them, you know, sells all these shares and makes people bankrupt.
And then he gets a bloke
and
who's
he gets a bloke for committing, thinking of
just a liar and a scumbag kind of.
It's just a bit of a come down.
Yeah.
I needed more. I needed a bigger reason.
I'm taking a point off for that.
Yeah. There you go. Well, we're up to that part of the show. Give us your wrap up and rating of Phone Booth.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Great. Great length movie.
Good.
Like very watchable.
Oh, yeah.
Can we just say an hour 20, an hour 30 is a lovely watchable length for a movie.
Okay.
And it can be pacey and engaging.
Yeah, for sure.
So I quite enjoyed it. I didn't find it to be overly predictable while parts of it were predictable. Like I knew none of the girls were going to get killed, but that would have actually made it probably a better movie if one of them got killed. I don't know. But but that would have thrown it into chaos.
Yep.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Highly recommend it. And it's an 8 for me.
8. Okay. Yeah. There's my rating there.
8.5.
8.5. So we're close.
Well, there we go. Well, Stephen.
Did you take a point off for what I just said before?
No, I stuck with eight.
Yeah, I think 8's a fair score for you.
I think I've done well to give that an 8, given you're an 8.5.
Plus, I think the shortness of the film played into your hands too. I don't think you could have made that much longer, to be honest.
No.
I don't think it could have.
It would have drawn only to put in what you just said.
I reckon, yeah. There had to be a link. There had to be something.
Leave a note. I reckon
something that the wife knew about, and that maybe even the
girlfriend,
the girl, Pamela, knew about, that would have just tied all three of them together.
Yeah.
And that maybe he was at the center of this.
You should be a movie exec.
Yeah, I should.
Well, awkward for me to say, but that was Phone Booth.
Yes.
And next week,
yes,
I'm going to bring you a movie because we'll be releasing next week's episode, and I didn't realize this until now.
Yeah.
On April the 26th, 1 week out from the 30th anniversary.
I did pick up that
of Ayrton Senna's death. I hadn't looked at the kind of dates of our movies and so it'll be 1 week away from 30 years since Ayrton Senna's death.
May 1, wasn't it?
So next week we're going to watch Senna.
Senna.
The 2010 documentary movie. When We Were Kings can be called a movie.
Absolutely.
Then the documentary
This Is a Movie
into Ayrton Senna's life and death is also a movie. So your millionaire question, Stephen, is about Ayrton Senna and about his career.
Okay.
How many Grand Prix did Ayrton Senna win?
How many in
his entire career did Ayrton Senna win? Was it 41, 42, 43, or 44?
I'm going to say 41.
Ah, damn, that's correct.
That right? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Because I knew that he had a solid success before he died. So, yeah, I knew he was up there, but I think in – what was the last one? 48 or something?
44, yeah.
Yeah, I think, 41.
41 Grand Prix.
But there you go. I nailed that one.
Well, we'll do that next week.
Looking forward to that one, mate. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed Phone Booth, and I'm looking forward to watching Senna with you, and you're going to be holding the reins of that one next week.
I'll push the buttons.
Good luck to you, Trev. See you then.
See you then.